What would make a gospel tract contain a clear gospel message? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm really glad that you've decided to join us. We're currently taking a look at popular gospel tracts, and we've come to the point in the series where we're going to talk about what exactly would make a good tract. So, tune in for today's discussion. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. My name is Sean, and I'm here with Bob. And we are going over popular tracts. Christians are supposed to share their faith. We're supposed to share the message about what Jesus did for the world and how you can have everlasting life by simply believing in him, as John 3:16 and other verses say. Well, does that simple evangelistic message come through in the tracts that evangelicals use to share their faith? Now, so far, we've been pretty disappointed. We've mostly looked at tracts that ended up being very confusing.
Right. I'd like to look at a few today that are mostly clear, and then if we have time today or tomorrow, we'll look at a number of them that are solidly clear and helpful.
And by clear, let's define what we mean by clear.
Okay,
what's our standard for being clear?
Okay, there's three key elements. Believing, that should be stressed.
It has to say at some point in the track that you need to believe.
Right. And then Jesus Christ.
You have to believe in Jesus.
And then for everlasting life.
So you have to believe in the salvation that he promised to give.
Right. Now, how you get there is typically by telling people about the cross and the resurrection of Christ. These are the things which remove the sin barrier so that now the issue is not our sin. The issue is we're dead and we need life. And so if you believe in Jesus Christ for everlasting life, you have everlasting life.
Right.
And so those three elements are what we're looking for. A lot of these booklets that we've looked at so far, although they may mention believing, especially when they quote certain verses, what they emphasize is committing, submitting, confessing, turning from your sin, say this prayer.
Try to do better. And if you do, you'll have an experience of God's love.
Right.
So far, none of them have said, really, I don't think a single one has said that you need to believe in Jesus so that you get eternal life. It's
right.
Always been something else.
Right. Jesus is in every tract. So that part they get, that it's about Jesus. But the believing part is pretty dicey in a lot of these tracts, and the everlasting part is pretty dicey in a lot of these tracts.
Yes. To be fair, some of them have mentioned eternal life. Some of them have mentioned, you know, going to heaven when you die.
Right.
But they've mentioned it. It's not really the focus, you know.
Right.
It's not really the big takeaway. It was kind of like, if you were really sharp, you might catch that that's one of the benefits, but that's not the real takeaway.
Exactly. Well, here's two that I found in my little track file where I keep track of tracks. And this one says, if we never meet again, and it talks about God and ends up at the end talking about God's offer of eternal life. He says,
all right, that's good.
If you want to accept God's offer of eternal life, mm-hmm. So you've got God, you've got eternal life, and you've got you doing something, you can put your choice into words like these. I don't like the word choice quite so much, but okay. Dear God, I admit I have sinned against you many times in my life. I'm convinced that Jesus died in my place and took the judgment that I deserve for my sins. I accept your offer of forgiveness. I want the new life Jesus promises to those who believe in him. Thank you for letting me find out how to know you. Well, the reason I call this mixed is because they do talk about forgiveness, and they do talk about, in the lead up to it, they talk about eternal life. But in the prayer itself, I want the new life that Jesus promises. So the implication here is this is some sort of lifestyle that comes with, well, they don't even quite use the word believing in Jesus. They say, I want this.
Yeah.
So they're kind of asking for
right.
it.
Right. And so when I hear new life, I mean, every single product on the market advertises that if you use this product, you're just going to have a new life. This new
right.
hair color, new life. This car is just going to change your life.
Right.
This toothpaste, man, you're going to have friends all over the place. You know, they'd love to watch you smile.
That's
so
good.
New life, yeah, you need to be clear about that. Jesus gives eternal life.
Right.
In fact, when you believe in Jesus, your actual circumstances in life are probably not going to change radically.
Right.
You're not suddenly going to get a better degree from a better school and suddenly find yourself working at a better company for a higher pay raise, and your kids will be smarter and your spouse will be better. Like, none of that happens.
No.
No.
Okay, well, here's another one. It's called What If No One Warned You? And it, too, talks about Christ in one way. In fact, it's got a picture here of eternal life on one side and certain death on the other. So I like that.
That's
it's
good.
Talking about eternal life. And then it's got one way. So I like that. It's talking about Jesus being the only way. And then you get to the end and it says, if you choose Christ's way, that's the eternal life way.
Yeah.
You can express your decision to God in a prayer like this. Well, again, I don't like quite calling it a decision because it seems to me faith simply happens when the evidence convinces us. We may decide to look at the evidence or not look at the evidence, but in any regard, let's go on. Dear God, I admit that I have been trying to get to heaven my own way. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Now I'm convinced that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's good. I believe that he died in my place and took the judgment that I deserve for my sin. Great. I accept your offer of forgiveness. Well, this is okay, but the emphasis, especially in the Gospel of John, is not on forgiveness. In fact, Jesus never says, he who believes in me has the forgiveness of sins. What he says over and over and over again is he who believes in me has everlasting life. Mm. But the prayer goes on and says, I want the eternal life Jesus promises to those who believe in him.
Oh, that's good.
That is good. Now, the only problem with it is I don't think it should say I want it.
Because
I believe in it. You
yes.
know, I believe in the eternal life Jesus gives to those who believe in him. But it's pretty good.
Okay, so it's pretty good, but let's think about that for a second. Because if you're saying I want it, one, it's kind of putting you in a position of, it's as if the condition of salvation is you need to beg God to have this. And
right.
you need to beg enough
right.
for him to give it to you. And the second thing I don't like about that is it puts everlasting life as something that is still future, whereas Jesus promised whoever believes has it.
Present tense right
Present
now.
Tense. So if you believe, what do you have? You have everlasting life.
And you'll never perish. You'll never hunger, you'll never thirst,
so
you'll never die.
If someone said, yeah, I believe John 3:16, I want everlasting life. And if you ask them, well, don't you already have it because you believe it? And they're going to say, no, but I want it. That means they don't yet believe John 3:16.
Right, exactly. Because if you said, okay, John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him should not perish but has everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yes, I do. So
right.
what do you have? Well, I don't know.
I have no idea, but I want it.
Right. But
okay,
the text says
right.
if you believe, you have it, and you say you believe in him. And then they're going to be in this, yeah, but how do I know I really believe? And
right.
then you get off into, well, now believing doesn't mean believing anymore. Now believing is some special thing.
So this want language, it leaves an unbeliever hanging. How do you make it happen? How do you cross that line from actually wanting it to now you have it?
Exactly.
So that's really where the evangelism comes in. You have to get the person to the point of assurance where they actually believe what Jesus promised.
As we talked about, really our job when we share our faith is simply to tell people the reality. And the reality is he who has the Son has the life. He who doesn't have the Son doesn't have the life. Mm. 1 John 5, around verse 11. Or, Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. It's that simple. If you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. If you don't, you don't. We're not really selling anything. We're just saying that's it.
Yeah.
Believe it, don't believe it, whatever. But that's the reality. But when we tell people, well, you need to pray this prayer, now we've already introduced a little confusion.
Right.
And then when the prayer itself has something in it, like I want the eternal life you promised to those who believe
yeah.
in you, that's better than a lot of tracks, but it's still a little confusing.
Yeah, I mean, if I said, listen, I put $100 in your pocket, and you said to me, yeah, Sean, I want $100. I said, yeah, it's in your pocket. I put it there. No, but I want it. I want it. Will you give it to me? Will you give it to me?
That shows you don't believe
that
it.
That shows you don't believe it. I just
right.
said I put it in your... And the same thing with Jesus. Okay, but that's not the end of the tract. I mean, how does it end?
After that, it says, thank you for helping me find the sure way to heaven.
Okay, so see, that's not good because it kind of leaves you at the point where, okay, I know this is the way, but really you want to take them.
Right.
You want to lead them to the destination.
Right.
Basically what that tract is leaving the unbeliever with, okay, here's the directions, but it doesn't actually bring them to the point of actually believing in Jesus for what he promises.
Okay, here's another illustration. You were born in Canada, right?
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And so you were a Canadian citizen until how many years ago?
2013.
So 2013, you became an American citizen,
yep.
a U.S. citizen. When that happened, what'd you do? There was some swearing-in ceremony.
Yes, there was. Yeah.
And how many people were in this room?
I don't know, 50, 70.
All right. When that happened, did you walk out of the meeting going, I want to be a U.S. citizen?
Yeah. So how does this work? Can I be American yet? That's a great illustration. No, I walked out knowing I was American.
And you knew it because you believed that since you met the conditions,
yeah.
and of course they gave you the certificate, but in the case of God, the certificate is John 3:16.
Right.
The certificate is John 5:24. It's he who believes in me has everlasting life. We believe that his promise is true.
Right.
There's nothing more to be done other than believing in him.
I'll give you another illustration. I performed a wedding a couple weeks ago. And if the people left there wondering, okay, so we'd really like to be married. We're not sure if we're married. And you just did all of the, you know, if that's what your wedding is leaving people with, you're doing the wedding wrong.
There was something unclear in your
right?
presentation.
And so if you're doing evangelism and you're leaving people with uncertainty about whether or not they have everlasting life, you're evangelizing wrong.
Right.
How could these tracks be made better?
Well, it seems to me, as we spoke of at the top of the show, make sure you emphasize believing in Jesus Christ for the everlasting life which he promises. Don't bring in commitment, don't bring in dedication, some sort of I'm turning from my sins, or in the case of the tracks we looked at here, I want this everlasting life, but I don't know if I have it, or thank you for forgiveness, but you don't actually talk about everlasting life. Instead, you talk about new life, which is a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
Emphasize the reality that the one who believes in Jesus has everlasting life, and then leave the results up to God. It's not up to you to have the person say, wow, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's between them and God. You share the message, keep it clear, and they may walk away going, wow, could it really be that simple? Now, I know that's what I thought the first time I was confronted with the grace message.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to continue our conversation about what makes a clear gospel track. So you don't want to miss part two of this conversation. Well, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.